The following resource is from lmpc.org, and we're delighted to provide it freely to all. If you feel led to give towards the ministry of Lookout Mountain Presbyterian Church, we welcome you to do so at lmpc.org/give.
Well, I add my welcome to Aaron's, and as you can tell, I'm not very well today. I will isolate myself right here all morning. If I haven't met you, I look forward to meeting you next time. And I look forward to greeting you next week. I miss that. And I thank Aaron for being willing to administer the Lord's table. I will stay right here. We do start a new series today in Deuteronomy. I'm really, really excited about this study. We will go back and forth between sections of Deuteronomy and the Gospel of Luke. And we will do that over the next 3 years. This is part of the Renew emphasis. There is no better book to study on renewal than the book of Deuteronomy. And that may be a surprise to some of you. And I want to read the series description that is printed in your bulletin. My professor, Dr. Bruce Walke, said that Deuteronomy is the most important book in the Old Testament. Why? First, it is written by Moses to make the covenant relationship clear. Second, it informs the theology of Israel's prophets and enables them to interpret Israel's history, both its judgments and its hope for restoration. And third, Jesus quotes this book more than any other book of the Bible. Deuteronomy is quoted in the New Testament over 53 times, a number exceeded only by Isaiah and Psalms. And yet the contemporary church largely neglects it. It is also, by the way, the source of much of Paul and John's theology. As we ask for the renewal of our hearts before the face of God over the next 3 years, our study of Deuteronomy will help us understand the nature of the covenant and what covenant renewal might look like. Clearly, Jesus loved this book. And when you love someone, you enjoy reading what they love and what they enjoy. So because we love him, and because he loves us, let us hear and enjoy and respond to our covenant God as we study Deuteronomy. Let us pray together. Our Father, now we ask that you would prepare us to come and feast at your table by sending forth your word. Written by Moses, spoken by Moses. To think that we sit here in this moment, receiving it, able to read it, is an incredible privilege, and we thank you. Please, Father, help and strengthen the one who preaches, and give all who hear the ability and the power to hear with faith in their hearts. And we pray in your name. Amen. Last weekend, the College World Series of baseball ended and Ole Miss won. Afterwards, the coach was asked what he told his team. You understand, perhaps, that the College World Series is played in Omaha, and that's the goal of every college baseball team, to get to Omaha. But the Ole Miss coach said, "We're not going to Omaha to show up. We're going there to win." And they did. What you read in Deuteronomy is Moses, not as a coach, but as a preacher, as a pastor, calling the people to not just show up when we go in the land, but to take it and to embody what it means to be the loyal, faithful people of the covenant of God. It is not going to be enough just to land in the land. We're going there to fulfill God's purposes. First, the context for Moses' sermon. This is a sermon that he begins here. And the context is that there is the need for covenant renewal from generation to generation, and that has always been true. And it is true at this very moment. These are the words that Moses spoke. Moses is preaching. This is the first of three sermons Moses will preach in Deuteronomy. To read Deuteronomy is to read preaching. And so we will be preaching from Moses. And you can see that he spoke the words in verse 1. In verse 3, it says that Moses spoke to the people of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him. And then in verse 5, he undertook to explain the law, not to give legislation, but to explain the legislation that had been given, the law. Moses is doing what preaching intends to do. And it is to make absolutely clear and plain what God says and to do it with urgency. Or as one said, to preach as a dying man to dying men and women. And so preaching is at the heart of renewal. Raymond Brown says this: it is to realize that one is part of a congregation. Notice the term, all of Israel, verse 1, the covenant people of God. It is to realize that one is part of a congregation and to receive the words. This is what it means to be you in this moment on Sundays after Sunday. It is to be in the congregation and to receive the words of a man burdened with a message which is not of his own choosing, but burdened because that man recognizes he is the voice, but the Lord is the authority. And that's how Moses preached. And I am here to remind you, from the outset, these are the words Moses spoke, three sermons, that the receiving and the giving of the preaching of God's word is central to the renewal of the covenant people of God. Parents, do not be surprised when you make church optional that the next generation will consider God unnecessary. Why? You have removed them from the central means God uses for renewal, the preaching of His word. And that's not to elevate me. That's not to elevate Aaron. We are spokesmen with an urgent message from a covenant God. And we speak not of our own choosing, but as Moses says, according, verse 3, to all that the Lord had given him in commandment to them. If you are offended by the preaching, you were offended by God. And we are equal opportunity offenders. It's offensive to me as the one who preaches. It collides with my sin and my heart. And so I just want you to see from the outset as we pursue renewal, the centrality of preaching as Deuteronomy is preaching. The first of three sermons is also in its context directed to God's covenant people. Verse 1, these are the words that Moses spoke to all Israel. You see, Moses understood that Israel as a covenant people had a special privileged relationship with Yahweh. They were given favored status, not because they were significant as a nation, but because they were the least. They were given covenant favor not because they were morally excellent. They were marked by utter rebellion. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 through 8. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other people, for you were the fewest. But it was because the Lord loved you. That's what it means for us to be the covenant people of God. It is not because we're special. We are the least. We are the rebels. It says, Deuteronomy says, it was because the Lord loved you. And so Peter, knowing the essence of what it means to be the covenant people of God, would say in 1 Peter 2:9 that we are a privileged people, a chosen race, God's very own possession. And so hear me. Being the covenant people of God is amazing grace. It is. Moses says, I'm speaking on behalf of the covenant God to his special people, not based on doing of their own, but his love. And then the first of these three sermons by Moses, the context of these sermons as the generational renewal passes, is that it is directed to God's covenant people at a very critical moment. The people of God in Deuteronomy are standing at a critical moment. They are on the edge of the promised land. They are on the plains of Moab, east of the Jordan River. And they stand there as a new generation, post-wilderness wandering generation on the edge of promise. Their faithless parents had all died in the wilderness as a punishment from God. So verses 2 through 3 point out, first in verse 2, it says it's 11 days' journey from Horeb, which is the region around Mount Sinai, by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. 11 days, 150 miles to go from Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. 11 days, and then you read the next verse 3. In the 40th year, an 11-day journey took 40 years. And as I recently was in the Dead Sea region, I can't imagine 40 years in that dry heat. I confessed as I was there, I've been too hard on you Israelites for your grumbling and complaining. Because I did a lot of it there myself when it was 108 degrees. 40 years. Why? Because at Kadesh Barnea, according to Numbers, Moses sent spies into the land in preparation for the conquest. Most of them brought back pessimistic reports, except Joshua and Caleb. Most of them were full of fear, and this is the essence of their 40-year wandering. They refused to trust and take God's promise. And it cost. God judged his people by condemning the first generation to die in the wilderness in Numbers 14, in this desert. Your bodies will fall, not one of you will enter the land. 40 years they wandered. Why? Because of unbelief. That is the urgency of Moses' preaching, that a new generation take hold of faith in the promises of the covenant God. Don't let this be lost on you. At this church, we preach powerfully and believe in the grace of God, the unconditional grace of God. But I want to show you by pointing out from 11 days to 40 years that disobedience has dire consequences. Do not ever hear the message of grace as getting you and I off the hook of obedience. It is the fuel for obedience. But to disobey has generational consequences. Do we live with that mindset daily? The things I obey today will have generational impact in the covenant people. But the grace of God is seen here, that God has spared the children, the generation hearing Moses now preach. And as I said, Moses pleads as a dying man with the next generation to be faithful. They are entering a land where there is pagan worship, syncretism, where you just add God to the mix of the other gods. There is polytheism. There's not one God, there's many gods. And that's why Deuteronomy, Moses will say, the Lord our God is one. Because they're going into a land that's going to be culturally challenging to the next generation. It is hard right now to be a follower of Jesus. But understand this, it's not new. The people here in this sermon face the same thing. That generation was staring, walking into a land where everything they believed would be challenged all the time. And what was it that girded them? The preaching of the Word of God to the covenant people. Will they be loyal to God as directed to them at Sinai? Yes, their parents, if you remember when God revealed the law, they said, we'll do it. And they bound the future generations of God's covenant people to live as God gave in the gift of the law. And now they had to go into a lawless land and take it as they're loyal to God and faithful to His word. Are you beginning to see why it's important for us to study Deuteronomy? The Renew Vision. 2042, we, Lord willing, will celebrate our 150th birthday as a church. We are in a generational transfer at this church. We are passing generation to generation. A lay renewal hit this place in the 70s. And yet it is not well to presume upon that. We are handing off to another generation. What will we celebrate at the 150th party? That's why we're studying Deuteronomy. It's renewal from generation to generation. We as a church are in our own Plains of Moab moment. And that's why we have said renew is not merely about fixing a building, but renewing the hearts of the covenant people of God into the next generation. That's what we're about over these 3 years. That's why we had 31 days of prayer. We're not just having a campaign. We're on the plains, and the baton is being passed. Will we be faithful in a culture that is incredibly challenging? He begins a sermon in verse 6. And as you'll see throughout the book, renewal always involves remembering the redemptive story. And I want you to see three things here as he begins to preach. The key to renewal is to remember the promise, remember the gift, and remember our calling. That's what he says at the beginning Remember the promise. Verse 6, the Lord our God said to us in Horeb. Again, I find that very interesting because many hearing Moses speak weren't at Sinai. But he said, the Lord our God said to us, what? That points to the covenant generational promise. You may not have heard it, you may not have been there, but it was said to us because we're the covenant people. And the first sermon is a rehearsal of God's gracious and faithful redemption. It begins as God sends his people towards the land of promise from Sinai in verse 6. The Lord our God said to us, you've stayed long enough at this mountain. You are a people of promise. You have now been given the law. Go, take the land. He points out in verse 8 that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them and to their offspring after them. God had promised this land to the offspring in Genesis 13. In Genesis 15, he had promised this land to the people of God after the wandering of slavery, after the people would come out of Egypt. God reminds Moses of the promise when he says in Exodus 13:11, after the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you as he promised on oath to you and your forefathers. Even at the end of Numbers, just before Deuteronomy, in Numbers 34:12, the Lord said to Moses, command the Israelites and say to them, when you enter Canaan, the land that will be allotted to you as an inheritance. We are people of promise. God's promise. That if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And that is on the basis of his grace and his love. And at the heart of remembering the redemptive story is remembering the promise, but also remembering the gift in verse 8. See, I have set the land before you. See, I have given you the land. And as I talk about remembering the gift and remembering our calling, I want to point you to Ephesians 2 that does both. In verse 8 and 9, a similar covenantal expression is given by Paul when he says, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is what? The gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And you may be surprised that the covenant God through Moses would say, see, I have given the land, I have set it before you, and then say, go in and take. Is it a gift or is it taken? Yes. Ephesians 2:10, just after Paul says it's the gift of God. Don't forget, he says, we are God's what? Workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The call to fidelity, the call to bring the kingdom, the call to take is not in contradiction to the gift of grace. It is at the heart of it. Grace fuels the taking. The gift fuels the going in and taking that is part of our commitment to the kingdom of God. So renewal always involves preaching. And that preaching always remembers and rehearses the redemptive story. See, covenant renewal, the big idea happens as God's people remember their identity and they respond obediently to his graciously given law, and thereby reaping the benefits of his enduring promises from generation to generation. And when we gather, we do not just rehearse and remember the redemptive story through the preaching of God's word. We remember it at this table. We come time after time to this table to remember the promise, to remember the gift, to remember our calling. Let's pray. We do pray and ask that through the preaching of your word, you would bring renewal to us all and to the next generation at Lookout Mountain Presbyterian Church. Please, Lord. These days ahead will not be easy, but they weren't for the people of God going into Canaan. Oh, Father, help us. Renew us, we pray. And as we come to your table, would you feed us by your Spirit as we remember the promise and the gift and our calling where we feast upon you. In Christ's name, amen.